Look back at, if you would, at 1 Samuel. We'll go back to 1 Samuel. And we want to see a few things here. In 1 Samuel chapter 17 again. Verse 20 and 26. It says there, so David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep and with the keeper and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp of the army. And then we see in verse 21, for Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of a supply keeper. Isn't that interesting that twice we're told that David saw to it that the things that he was responsible for were taken care of. I just say that by the way. I think it's an important point. And then he says in verse 23, then as he talked with them, there was a champion, the Philistines. And of course, Goliath comes out and David hears about it. Verse 24, and all the men of Israel, they saw this man from and they fled from him, and they were dreadfully afraid. And then, down in verse 26, David says, what shall be done for a man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And so what we find with David is that he is reexamining and reaffirming the proper motives. It wasn't that David is saying, no, here's my chance. I've already been anointed. Here's my chance to go out and be public. Here's my chance to be used in a mighty way. David didn't say that. That wasn't his motive. His motive was that this man, this giant, was defying the living God. And so he was standing up for the living God. And so how important it is for us then when we think about our own lives, that we too look into our own hearts. Let a man examine himself. That we examine our own lives. That we continually, you know, not just once a week, 1 Corinthians 11 would speak about as we would approach the table for the Lord's Supper. But you know what? I would like to suggest that this is something that we need to do before we ever would even begin our day. That we would examine our lives, that we would continually and constantly take a look at what motivates us, what causes us to move forward in life. What is it that really is the thing that motivates us in the spring into action? What is it that makes us tick in our daily lives? And so we find that David would do this. And then conquering faith rejects discouragement. We see in these verses, and we've already referred to them, that they would discourage him. His brothers would discourage him. Saul would discourage him. Saul would say, you're just a youth. And his brothers would say, you're a sheep keeper. What do you know about battle? And David wouldn't be discouraged by these things. David would reaffirm his own motives, but he would also reject the discouragement. And I'm going to tell you, when you're serving the Lord, that when you want to live for the Lord, when you want to put the Lord first in your life, you're going to have those that come along and they're going to discourage you instead of encourage you. You're going to have those that will try to rattle your cage. There's going to be those that will try to discourage you along your journey. And this is why, and in fact, there's sometimes where the circumstances that will just discourage you. Remember one time in St. Kitts when we were there for a whole year, and we saw no fruit. And for a whole year, there's no souls being saved. And for a whole year, we're doing Bible classes and we're preaching the gospel and no one is being saved. And my heart was just so discouraged. I honestly wanted to pack up and leave. I just was so depressed and discouraged. What's the use? And the enemy starts throwing these fiery darts of doubt. My brother calls me up and he says to me from the States, and he says to me, I have a verse for you today. He not knowing anything. I never told anybody about the discouragement. And he says, I have a verse for you this morning. I said, oh, great. He says, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. I'll see you later. That's all he said. That's it. But a word fitly spoken. Oh, I'll tell you. A word fitly spoken. And I said, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. And you move forward. Guess what? That week, there was about 8 children saved. The next week, adults got saved. People were added to the assembly. What if I would have quit? What if I would have packed up? I tell you, the work's not dependent on us. But the enemy wants to discourage us. And listen, young person, it's always too soon to quit. It's always too soon to give up on God. And so, reject discouragement. The next thing that we find is conquering faith recalls past victories. Remember God's victories that He's given you in the past. Don't live in them. Don't look back in, oh, the good old days. It's good to look back. You know, Paul would always remind us of what we were without Christ, dead in our trespasses and sin. It's good to look back. It's good to look back and remember the faithfulness of our God. But don't live there. Live here. Taking what you've learned there and applying it here. And move forward. Move forward. I love that expression in Philippians chapter 1, I think it's verse 12, where he says, for the furtherance of the gospel. For the furtherance of the gospel. That expression, it has the idea of a pioneer. And he's a guy that works for the military. And it comes from a military word that means the guy that's preparing and hacking down the branches and the brush. And he's preparing a way so that the army can come back. And that the army can lay the road and the bridge so that the army can get across. The furtherance of the gospel. That's what we need. We don't need those that look back and say, oh, I wish I lived in Darby's day. You don't, okay? Get over it. You don't. But you live right now. I used to say, I wish I lived in Billy Sunday's day. I would have loved to hear Billy Sunday preach. But I don't. I live now. This is where we're at. This is the time. Like Esther. You're here now for such a time as this. This is where He has you. Let Him use you. Let Him use you. And so, conquering faith recalls past victories. Conquering faith recognizes the true nature of the battle. The true nature of the battle. David could say that the battle is not really ours. The battle belongs to the Lord. That's the nature of this battle. The battle isn't against the Israelites and the Philistines. The Philistines shouldn't be here. The Philistines are just traffickers. They're just people who traffic. They're like Christians who people who profess to be Christians, who really aren't, but they're trafficking in truth. That's the Philistines. And he says that, but the battle's not between the Israelites and the Philistines. The battle is between the Lord. It's the Lord's battle. And listen, we need that perspective when we're doing battle. Ephesians chapter 6, what is it, verse 12? That would remind us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Our battle isn't one another. Let's get this out of our head. Our battle, young people, is not the older brethren. Our battle, let me say it again. I'm stuck somewhere between the older brethren and the younger brethren. Our battle is not the older brethren. Our battle, it's a spiritual battle. And listen, if you really study the enemy's tactics, you know what his enemy, he's a deceiver, we saw that last night, but he's a divider and he's a destroyer. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to divide old and young. He wants to divide this and that. Instead of the unity, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Why do we have to endeavor it? It means to the point of exhaustion, to the point of sweat, to the point of toil. Why? Because we've got an enemy that wants to divide and conquer.